Good morning. We are glad that you could join us this morning. We are doing things a little bit differently because Pastor Jeff is gone, so I am opening the service this morning. We are glad that all of you could be here, and a special welcome to our online viewers as well. Thank you all for making this a part of your Sunday morning. Before we open the service with prayer, I wanted to read a quick scripture, and that scripture is in Philippians 1, verses 9 through 11. And it's Paul addressing the church in Philippi. And it says, "And I pray this, that your love will keep on growing in knowledge and every kind of discernment, so that you may approve the things that are superior and may be pure and blameless in the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus to the glory and praise of God." And so that was kind of where I was feeling this morning, especially because, church, we've had a lot of decisions over the past little bit. We've had some things that we have voted on and made progress, and now we are in a clear direction. And our main focus and our main goal is that we are on track with the will of God. Amen?
Amen.
It doesn't matter what Wiley Methodist Church says. Wiley Methodist Church is after the heart of God.
Yes.
And so I pray that is not only as our congregation, for our staff, for everybody that has any kind of decision making, I just pray that we're good stewards with what God gives us and that we stay firm and hold fast to the direction of God's will. And so that is my prayer this morning, and I hope that's your prayer as we continue through and we start with Global Methodist Church and make a bunch of decisions along the way of how we move forward. But that's my prayer this morning. May God give us the chance to grow in knowledge, to gain every kind of discernment, so that we can make choices that allow us to stay close to the heart of God. Will you pray with me? God, that is our prayer this morning. Allow us as we enter this place to find you this morning. Allow your spirit to overflow this room. Allow this to be an opportunity to where we encounter you and the goodness of your mercy and the goodness of your grace and the goodness of your love. Allow us to have a meaningful moment to where we can keep on growing in this knowledge, keep on growing in this discernment, so we can be on track with who you are and what you have in store for this church. Allow us to feel your presence this morning. We thank you and we love you. Amen.
Us.
people of God, for the purpose of God this morning. And we remember that music is a gift. Music is a gift. And the music of God presses us forward for His purpose and His kingdom. So we're so thankful that we can come joyfully together, that we can sing loudly, we can lift up our voice as one to bring praise to our God. And we rejoice that Jesus Christ has won the victory over sin and death. And He promised to send us a helper for this life, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit. So we're not alone in this journey, but God Himself has given us the very same power that rose Jesus Christ from the grave to put inside of us, to lead us in this journey, right? This struggle we call life. So let's praise Him, because we have the same power, that Holy Spirit resurrection power inside of us.
Over.
do something. Let's give the Lord a shout of praise on three. One, two, three. Woo! Amen. Hallelujah. We just obeyed scripture this morning. You may be seated. Children, come on forward for your children's message.
Hello? I'm on now. All right. How's everybody doing today?
Great.
All right. Well, I'm excited to be here today. Are you excited to be here?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Well, so question. Just raise your hand. Do you like to draw? Raise your answer. Raise your hand when I ask you the question. Do you like to draw? Yes. You like to draw? Yeah. So very good. We all like to draw. It's always fun. You can be creative and do all kinds of fun stuff when you're drawing. So I like to draw some. I'm not really very good at drawing, but I usually draw like trees. I can draw clouds and I can draw sun and I might can draw a flower. So maybe some grass. I'm not a big, I don't draw a lot of different things, but I kind of draw some stuff. So drawing is fun, right? And you can get real creative, and then you can color it and make it really pretty, right? So that question, next question is, have you ever drawn a picture and messed up and have to start all over again? Yeah, we've all done that, haven't we? Yeah, so we made mistakes. That's right. So I was drawing a picture last night, and I got in a hurry, so I thought I was going to say, well, it's not the best picture, but I thought I'd show you my picture that I drew last night and see what y'all think of my picture, okay? Are y'all ready? This is my picture that I drew last night. Is it a good picture? kind of had some problems with my picture last night. I drew a square sun. Is the sun square?
No, that's right.
And kind of made lots of mistakes, and I tried to erase my mistakes, and my eraser wasn't very good, and just kind of made a mess of my page, didn't it? Yeah, I even have a hole in my page. Oh, man, even have what? A hole. I know. So the early service, Drew said he would help me learn to draw because he said I wasn't a very good drawer. So, yeah, so that my picture's pretty messy, right? So, I think I should start all over, right? Should I start over on this page, or what should I do? Get a what? Get a brand new sheet of paper, right? And start all over. Or do it on the back? Well, I think if I tried to do it on the back, I might have a hole. I'd still have my hole in my paper, wouldn't it? Yeah, it'd still make the picture kind of messy, right? So, I need a brand new sheet of paper, right? So, I got to thinking, our life is kind of like this, our two pieces of paper. I have a messy picture, and then I have a clean picture, right? So, when I was thinking about this, messy pictures, we make mistakes, right? And we do things wrong, right? You know, so when we do things wrong in life, we make mistakes. Do y'all make mistakes in life? Do you do things that are hurtful, maybe, or unkind? Yeah, are you ever unkind to your brother or sister or a friend? Do you disobey your parents? No, never disobey your parents. That's right. You obey your parents? All right. But sometimes we do things that are not kind, right? And we mess up in life, right? We do the things that are not pleasing to God. We sin. Sin is when we do things that are not pleasing to God, right? But does God still love us when we sin? Yes, he does. But our life can get kind of messy. We can't erase our sins, right? Right? So how do we get rid of our sins? How do we take, what happens with our sins? Isaac? We can ask God for forgiveness. That's right. So when we make mistakes and we sin, we can go to God And we ask for his forgiveness. And do you know what he does? He forgives us. And do you know what he does? He takes our sins. He takes them away. And he gives us a clean sheet of paper for that day or that moment. And we get to start all over again because God loves us so much that he takes our sin and forgives us. He doesn't remember our mistakes. Did you know that? Do you know that God doesn't remember our mistakes? He forgives us and he moves on. Do we remember our mistakes?
Yeah,
we do. Because I can look at this picture and think, oh man, I'm really messed up. But it doesn't matter. When we mess up, God loves us. He starts us all over. He forgives us. So in life, do you want to have a messy life or do you want to have a clean life? Clean life. That's right. Because even if we have a messy life and we do things that are wrong, God still loves us, right? And he forgives us. Well, we need to talk to him, right? And we need to ask for his forgiveness, right? Yes.
No matter what.
No matter what. So are you thankful? Are you so thankful that God loves us that he will give us a clean piece of paper and a clean life? Yeah. And it says in 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, tell God our sins, he is faithful and just and willing to forgive our sins. He purifies us, which means make clean. So he makes us clean and we get to start all over. We don't have to carry that sin with us. So remember, when we mess up, we need to go to God and ask for his forgiveness. Can y'all do that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all right. Well, let's say a prayer, okay? Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you love us and just bless us as we move on to Children's Church, Lord. I pray that we go and learn about you and about your great love for us. And we thank you that you forgive us when we mess up, because we do mess up. And your grace is so good and your forgiveness is there, Lord. We thank you that you love and care for each one of us. Just bless our time in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go this way. All right, you ready, Charlie?
Am I in now? Okay, good. Hello, good morning. I hope y'all are all having a great day. Who else is having a hard time wrapping their minds around the fact that we're halfway through October? A little bit, right? So you are going to get to hear me and Naomi probably for a few weeks up here telling you about Operation Christmas Child. And so we are starting early because even though it's only halfway through October, our final pickup date is actually November 21st. And so Christmas is right around the corner, but we actually start picking up these boxes at the end of next month. So we are telling y'all all about them, hoping that you can help us out with these. There are on both sides of the foyer, there's little tables with the Operation Christmas Child stuff at them where you can pick up a shoebox and all sorts of information about the program. And basically what you do, you take home a shoebox and you'll get this little label and it says boy or girl, and then you pick which age child you want to pack it for. And you just pack a shoebox basically full of stuff that these kids will be so blessed to get. We usually do like a notebook, a bag full of school supplies, toothbrush, rags, soap. This one, they got little flip-flops that are cute, right? And a little stuffed animal. For guys, they love getting soccer balls. You can get soccer balls with just the little like hand pump. Tennis balls, toy trucks, right? All this stuff that these kids probably don't usually receive come Christmas time. And it's just an amazing opportunity to reach out to them. And through this, though, they're also getting the wonderful chance to hear the love of God, not only through the gift, which is going to bring them a lot of joy, but through the gospel sharing as well. and it's actually said that every kid that gets this goes out and tells 10 more people about the love of God. So you're not only affecting one child, but 10 people around that child that are going to get to see God working through them, which is such an amazing thing. And it's something that they might have never heard in their life. It's something that they might only hear once a year. But it just all the testimonies and stuff, and we'll be playing more testimonies throughout the coming weeks and different stuff. But these boxes mean the world to those kids, and it just really shows God's love through it. And so you can go pick up one of these shoe boxes. It does not have to be a pretty red and green shoe box. Any shoe box will do. And then if you'll bring them back to the church, we send them off to the big processing center, and then they get sent all around the world. And so another way you can do it, we actually now have our online building shoebox page open. And so you should have received, hopefully, if you're signed up for the emails that Pastor Jeff sends out, the good news emails each week, there's now a link on there. You can click that link, and you can actually go online and build a shoebox. You still get to pick the stuff you want in it and everything, but you don't have to physically go to the store and pick out stuff, which can be fun, or online can be fun, too, sometimes when you don't want to go to the store. So those are two ways you can do it. You can also donate on the online app, and we will be more than happy to build shoeboxes for y'all. But we really hope you can. We really hope y'all can help us out. Our church goal is 450 boxes, and so as you can see, we've already gotten a good start on that through our VBS Vacation Bible School. They built a whole bunch this year, but there is always room for more. So. We thank y'all for any way you're willing to help. All right. So if y'all will bow your heads and pray with me. Dear Lord, I just come to you today, and I thank you so much that we get to gather here without fear and just in this building filled with your love, dear Lord, that we get to come together as a fellowship of Christians to just grow in relation with you and support each other, dear Lord. I thank you for this wonderful fall weather, for the rain, for the cooling down of the temperatures, dear Lord. It's amazing to see the seasons change and just your beauty in everything. We pray that these shoeboxes, as we start to bring them in, dear Lord, we just pray over each and every one of them that they go to the child that you have them planned for. And that they see your love through that, and that they share that love with those around them, dear Lord. We want to build a nation just for you, dear Lord. Go out to all nations and proclaim your name. And so we pray that these shoes boxes are the way that we can do that, even if we don't go overseas ourselves, that these can impact those children and then the people around them. And we pray, even as we send these across seas, dear Lord, we pray for the ones in our own backyard that need to hear your love and your name just as much as those that aren't overseas, dear Lord. We pray that you find a way to impact them, that we can go out into our own community and just spread your love and your great news, dear Lord. I pray that as this fall season gets started and the weather does change, I pray against allergies and I pray against colds and sickness, dear Lord, that you would put a healing hand of protection around us all and that you would all guide us safely so that we can go out and do your will and be your hands and feet, dear Lord, in Jesus' name. And now we join together and say the Apostles' Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Brent's laughing at me. I'm slightly dyslexic, and I looked down and saw apostles and then prayer. And I was like, Lord's Prayer. If you want to give your offering this morning, you can look up on the screens, maybe. There you go. And there's a number you can text into or go on the app before we have our offering boxes on each side of the sanctuary. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, church. Good to see you this morning. I want to remind you to register your attendance if you would like to do that. That would be helpful. Once again, we want to welcome those who are worshiping online with us this morning. May you feel His presence in your homes. If you are visiting with us this morning, we're honored that you would choose to worship at Wiley Methodist. If you would like to leave us a record of your visit, there's a guest card in the seat pocket in front of you. If you want to fill that out, that would be awesome. You can leave that in your seat. You can drop that in one of the offering boxes by the exits. I will be by the main entrance. I would love to meet you after the service if you choose to do that. Once again, we're just honored that you would pick Wiley Methodist as your place of worship today. Our pastor is out of town for you guests. If the sermon falls flat today, come on back next week, because I know it'll be good next week for sure. But now we're honored to have you here. I think the new online pictorial directory we're putting together is going well. Lots of people getting your pictures taken? Yes? How many of you have had your picture taken? How many of you have not had your picture taken? Okay. Well, y'all try to take care of that over the next several weeks. That would be awesome. Between the services, right out in the foyer, between the two services during Sunday school. You can meet out there. Also, I want to put in a plug for our trunk or treat. You know, we're asking for lots of candy, 50,000 pieces of candy, and you might say, that's ridiculous. You don't need 50,000 pieces of candy. Well, actually we do, and there's simple math here to determine how much candy we need. We're going to have 50 vehicles, and each vehicle is going to pass out one piece of candy to each child. Last year we estimated that 1,000 kids come through. So 50 times 1,000 is 50,000. Easy math. So next time you're at the store, I don't know, grab 30 or 40 bags and bring it to the church. And maybe, you know, we've got just, I don't know, 13 or 14 days to meet that goal. So we could use some help there. Once again, good to have everybody here this morning. I'm going to start out by reading an excerpt from a book that was written by Chuck Colson in the 1990s, a book entitled The Body. And this excerpt from a chapter titled The Right Fist of Christian Fellowship. It was the right hook that got him. Pastor Donald Waite might have stood in front of the communion table trading punches with head deacon Ray Bryson all morning had not Ray's fist caught him on the chin 2 minutes and 15 seconds into the fight. Pastor Waite went down for the count at the altar where most members of Emmanuel Baptist had first declared their commitment to Christ. Donald Waite's navy blue three-piece worsted suit was almost impossible to wrinkle, yet it was. Two of his front teeth were so loose he would have trouble eating corn on the cob for the next 3 summers. Ray Bryson's hand was broken in 2 places, and some of the townspeople dubbed him Sugar Ray after that Sunday, but never to his face. Nothing in the history of this rather typical New England community on the outskirts of Boston could have prepared them for the Sunday morning Donnybrook. It was something that had been brewing for some time. It all started when the new pastor, Donald Waite, doing some things that some of the members did not think was appropriate for a minister of the gospel to do. Rumors began to fly, and many months later the church found itself split, with one half of the congregation supporting Pastor Waite, and the other half supporting the deacons who thought it might be best for the pastor to move on. The split was especially evident on Sunday mornings. The sanctuary aisle from the altar to the back of the building separated the 2 camps. On the morning in question, the deacons decided to begin the process of removing the pastor. During their regular Sunday morning greeting and announcement time, they would share about a special call business meeting that would take place that afternoon. Pastor Waite got wind of the plot and decided that he himself would make the announcements that morning. As the pastor began to welcome the guests, Deacon Frank Fowler got up from the front pew and strode up the stairs of the platform to the pulpit. Bending toward the microphone, he smoothed out a piece of paper and started to read, "This is to announce a special congregational assembly for this afternoon to discuss Pastor Donald Waite." Suddenly, he could not be heard. Flora Waite, the pastor's wife and piano player, began pounding out "Have Thine Own Way" and was immediately joined by Sharon Carlson at the organ, drowning out the rest of Frank Fowler's message. Pastor Waite began singing loudly into his lapel microphone, and some on the right side of the church, his camp, joined him. Before they could begin the second verse, Frank pulled the organ power cord from the wall and Deacon Brian McGuire shut the piano lid. Flora Waite beat on his arms for a minute and even lost her hat in the scuffle, but Brian held on. There was an awkward pause. Deacons, still in their seats, coughed nervously and crossed their legs. Most of the choir was leaning forward, and one of the tenors was taking notes. Then Ray Bryson got up and walked over to the pastor in a slow, deliberate way that one approaches an injured animal. The neck veins on Ray's neck was showing as the two men hissed under their breath at each other. After a minute, Ray appeared satisfied. He turned to go to his seat, but his feet became entangled in the microphone cord, and he fell down. There was an audible gasp from the congregation. Pastor Waite delayed for one brief moment before reaching to help him up. It was long enough to convince those close to the front that their pastor had indeed pushed Ray Bryson. Ray must have thought so, too, because he bounced to his feet and hit the pastor square in the nose with his fist. The lapel mic registered the impact. Flora Waite screamed and ran to help her husband, but she never got close to him. Within an instant, the majority of the congregation converged on the altar area, punching and shoving. Many came down the center aisle to help break up the combatants, but remained to fight after their side began to fall behind in the skirmish. The melee soon spilled over into the open space beside the organ. Two tenors and a baritone jumped over the wooden railing of the choir loft and began exchanging punches with members from both sides of the aisle. Mary Dahl, the director of the Dorcas Society, threw a hymnal at one of the tenors, but the missile sailed high and wide and splashed down in the baptistry behind the choir. Sharon Carlson had given up on the organ and moved to the piano, where she tried to restore order by playing Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. Ann Fowler, Frank's wife, told her to return to her seat. When Ray Bryson's right hook finally took the pastor down, someone grabbed the spring flower arrangement from the altar and threw it high in the air in Ray's direction. Water sprinkled everyone in the first two rows on the right side, and a visiting Presbyterian experienced complete immersion when the vase shattered against the wall next to his seat. The fight ended when the police arrived on the scene. They restored order, took down names for the report they would file, and recommended some men seek medical attention. Ray Bryson's hand was broken, and Mary Dahl's knitting needles were confiscated. Pastor Waite and the deacons were summoned on the following Wednesday to appear at the Newton County Courthouse. The court officer assigned to the hearing was a Jewish man that was recognized by those summoned as one of the stars on Temple Beth Shalom's rival softball team. As Court Officer David Goldstein looked over the police report, he decided to dismiss the case. He stated, "No charges will be pressed at this time. I urge you to work this out within your own church. Your Jesus Christ may allow this sort of thing in his followers, but the state of Massachusetts will not permit fistfights as a regular order of church service." The leadership of Emmanuel Baptist Church filed quietly out to their cars and drove off in different directions. On the back of each car was a bumper sticker declaring, "God is with us at Emmanuel Baptist Church." Funny story. Also, it's a sad story because it's true. Chuck Colson changed the names to protect, in this instance, the guilty parties. And, you know, when I read that book, God started stirring in me something about unity. And it's something that I've pursued for a number of years. In the fellowships I'm part of and outside the fellowships and ecumenical opportunities to get together. And I just have a heart for that. During that same time, I was a deacon at a church that Carlene and I served in for a number of years. And, I was not helping matters much. I was actually part of the problem, not part of the solution in our church, because I served with another deacon that I had hatred in my heart for. And that's a kind way to say that. I hated his guts. Seriously, I did. I couldn't stand the man, and I don't know why. I just hated him. And so I went on a walk to Emmaus, and he was on that walk to Emmaus, and the Holy Spirit convicted me about that. And I had to go to that man, and I confessed to him, "Man, I've hated you for years, 15 years. Would you please forgive me?" And he forgave me. And so we had this incredible relationship moving forward. We love each other. But I wasn't part of the solution. I was also part of that problem. We had some conflict in that church. And some of you know which church I'm talking about, but I'm going to tell you today that church is incredibly healthy. If you know the church I'm talking about, it's really healthy. I would send people to that church. It's a healthy church, solid leadership. You know, that's an example. This story is an example of what unity does not look like. That's what it doesn't look like. And I don't know, maybe all of us have had some kind of experiences with disunity, maybe experience with conflict and fellowships. And you know, God is doing something. It shouldn't be unique, but it's unique. I mean, in this church, we have very little conflict, very little. And like I said, it's unique, but it shouldn't be unique. There are other churches that enjoy the unity that we enjoy. You know, Jeff has shared this before. He's been pastor 20 years, and there's just been a few times, maybe less than 10 times, that this church has had conflict. You know, Carlene and I transitioned to the Methodist world from the Baptist world to try to get some of you Methodists saved, by the way. I didn't know if you knew this is our mission field. But we transitioned in 2005. She became our children's pastor in January of that year. I just kind of worked myself into a job in 2008 or 2009. And, you know, I'm not for everybody. I had some giftings that seemed to work here. I remember one Saturday morning, as a member of the church, I went to Lowe's to pick something up. And our pastor, God bless him, was at Lowe's, and he had a trailer tied to his truck. He had several thousand dollars worth of building materials, taking that to a job that he was overseeing on a Saturday. And I'm thinking, Jeff, you need to be in prayer and prepping for your sermon. And I kind of lovingly called him out and said, Jeff, let me do that. You know, you need to be pursuing the Lord. Let me do that. And he released some of that. And so I just kind of worked myself into the position. I'm not for everybody. If I was in another church, I'd probably just, people get tired of me, and you guys may be tired of me. I'm not sure, but it just seems to work in this fellowship. But for the last 13 or 14 years, I can literally count on one hand where I know we've had conflict, where we've had friction. And it's been minor. It's been really minor. But when you don't have any, minor conflict seems to be major conflict. But let me ask you a question, church. As good as our unity is, could we go deeper? Could we go deeper? I believe we could. That's the heart of Christ. We're going to look at John chapter 17, look at Jesus' prayer, of what he would love to see in regard to unity. But before we get there, let me pray for us. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for opportunities to be together in Jesus' name. And Lord, I do. Man, we're so grateful for what you're allowing to take place at Wiley Methodist Church. We want to protect that. God, and we pray against what the enemy would do to try to disrupt, Lord, what you're doing here. So, Lord, open up our hearts this morning. Open up our ears, the eyes of our hearts, so we can hear, Holy Spirit, what you would have us to receive this morning. And we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right, let's look at John 17. It's a scripture that we're all familiar with, I'm almost certain. Jesus is praying right before his crucifixion. He's praying. He prayed for the disciples, and I'll pick it up in verse 20. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity, then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Now, when Jesus prays, he's not going to pray anything outside the Father's will. There's just this incredible connection. You know, Jesus said he only did what he saw the Father doing, and he only said what he heard the Father saying. Now, I don't know how that works in the spiritual realm, but Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. So maybe he saw the Father walking on water, so he walked on water. Maybe he saw the Father approach a young boy that was demon-possessed, set that young boy free. Jesus did that. And when the Father spoke, Jesus spoke. And so they're in unison on this prayer. They're in total 100% complete agreement in this prayer. And they could have prayed for anything for us. They could have prayed for good health for us. Oh, Lord, let not them suffer like the rest of the world suffers. He could have prayed for unlimited resources for us. Of course, we do have that, but he could have prayed for unlimited resources. He could have prayed for political favor for us. Oh, God, let them be governors. Let them be kings and princes and princesses. Or let them be presidents and senators and representatives. He could have prayed for any of that. But what he prayed for was unity, prayed for oneness. And not just any kind of oneness. The oneness that exists between the Father and the Son. And I guess a good question for us, are we experiencing oneness at that level? Now, this oneness takes in consideration our individuality as well. Are we experiencing it at that level? Well, let's look at what the Father and the Son, the Trinity, the unity that's within the Godhead. Let's take a look at that, and which is the first point, by the way. If you want to take notes, there's a sermon note sheet there, a blank one. I told the early crowd, I love you, but I'm not going to supply you with sermon notes. I love you. I just can't get that done. I'm not intelligent enough. Your pastor does a good job at that. That works for him. It doesn't work for me. But I love you anyway. So point number one, there is perfect unity within the Godhead. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time building a case for that, for the Trinity. I think we all have a pretty good theological grip or a grasp on that. We see several places in Scripture it mentions the Trinity. During creation, God spoke and there was light. At the same time, the Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters. If we look in Colossians 1, Scripture says that through Jesus, all things were created by Him and for Him, and He holds all things together. So the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, was involved in creation. Book of Genesis records plural when man is made. Man is created. Let us make man in our image. So we see the Trinity evident in creation. Several other scriptures that might speak about the Trinity that's kind of scattered throughout the Bible. Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Colossians 2:9, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity dwells in bodily form. And we see Jesus, we see the fullness of the Father. In John 4:24, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. And it's kind of difficult for us to wrap our mind around how there can be three that are one. They're one in the same substance. A.W. Tozier attempted to help us with a statement that he made in one of his writings. He said, the doctrine of the Trinity is truth for the heart. The fact that it cannot be explained, instead of it being something against the possibility of the Trinity, the fact that it can't be explained actually is in favor of the Trinity. It supports that. He says, such truth had to be revealed. No one could have imagined it. You just can't make that up. So unity inside the Godhead, maybe it looks like this. The Trinity, the Father and Son, they're always in sync. Always in sync. They're in perfect fellowship with one another. There's never been a time where fellowship was broken. They're always in total agreement. They were in total agreement about creation. It wasn't a 2-to-1 vote when it came to creating the aardvark. And this morning, I said the same thing about the mosquito. I said, what purpose do they serve? And somebody come up after church and said, well, the birds eat the mosquitoes. And if the birds didn't eat the mosquitoes, they would die, and then they wouldn't lay eggs, and we wouldn't hear them chirping and all this stuff. And I said, thank you for clearing that up for me. But they didn't have to vote on that. They were in total agreement about what they were going to create. They're in total agreement about loving the world. The Son loves the world just like the Father loves the world and us as well. They are all perfectly good. The Trinity is perfectly kind, perfectly faithful, same level of kindness, same level of faithfulness, and they are perfectly just. And Jesus desires unity at that level for you and I. And you know, I don't know, can we attain that level on this side of eternity? That's Jesus' heart for us. I'm trying to unwrap that in my mind. You know, God said that it's His desire, His will that none perish. That's His will. That's what He would like, for everybody to receive Christ. But of course, the road is broad that leads to destruction. Many will follow that path. It's Jesus' desire that you and I be one and share the same kind of unity that the Father and the Son share. Are we experiencing that? Can we actually get there on this side of eternity? You know, this may not even make sense. And it sort of does to me, but that may not make sense to you. Nothing's impossible with the Lord, right? Nothing's impossible with the Lord. But I believe Jesus believes for the impossible. I don't know if that makes sense. Here's an example. So Jesus is hungry, and he goes up to a fig tree. And Scripture says that there's going to be no figs on it because it's out of season. You know, the figs are not being produced during that time of year. So Jesus created that tree, right? And Jesus created the seasons. And so he goes up to this tree knowing there's not going to be any figs on it. But he goes up looking anyway, maybe believing for the impossible. I don't know if that makes any sense. I don't even know if there's a connection there. But it's his desire that you and I experience things at that level. So how do you think we're doing, church? Do we have some room to grow, maybe? Have a little bit of room to grow? And you know what? Even if this is as good as it gets, what we're experiencing today, if it's as good as it gets, we need to protect it. We need to fight for it. Amen? All right, well, let's look at some scripture that will help us do that. The first point was Jesus. Let me get back there and look. There's perfect unity in the Godhead. Second point, Jesus desires the same for us. And let's look at some scripture. Philippians 2, 3 through 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. It's easy for me to walk in this place and be self-absorbed, where I miss things that are going on with other people. We need to be looking out for other people's interests, not necessarily our own. Galatians 6:2. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. So on a practical level, that might look like somebody that's struggling. They've had a loss in their family. There might be a major illness going on. And God may call some of us to walk that journey with that person for a month, 6 weeks, two months, or something like that. A lot of us, that call may not be on our lives. Maybe the call on our life to help carry that burden is just say a quick prayer for that person, say an encouraging word, send them a sympathy card in the mail, possibly. We can carry each other's burdens in Colossians 3, 12 through 14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together, all together in perfect unity. So Paul encourages the church at Colossae to clothe themselves with some things. Now, you and I are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. That robe's not coming off. That garment's not coming off. Praise the Lord. But we're encouraged, maybe as we come into this building, maybe a Sunday morning, Wednesday nights, whatever, we're encouraged to clothe ourselves with some things. Now, we all made a choice this morning as to what we're going to wear, right? I told the early crowd that I have 3 summer shirts, and I rotate them every 3 weeks. But I'm not the only one in the room that does that, right? Right, Cody? Yeah, okay. And Cody only had 2, but he got 1 for Easter, and now he's got 3. And I'll have 3 winter shirts. And sometimes I forget what I wore the Sunday before, and I'll have to go back and watch the live stream. Just so you guys won't think, man, that Billy's only got 1 shirt. He's wore that thing 5 weeks in a row. But I make a choice on Sunday mornings what I put on. Every day I make a choice what I put on. And so here's the encouragement through Paul. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with these things. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And over all these virtues, put on love. Man, I'm going to church. I'm going to make a conscious effort to clothe myself with these things. I'm going to walk in and bless somebody. And the love binds all these things together in perfect unity. Like I said, church, if this is as good as it gets, you know, and that's great. But we need to fight for it. We need to protect it. This scripture won't be on the screen, but I'm going to talk about two types of wisdom that's found in the third chapter of James. He says, the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. So there's this wisdom that comes down from the Father. It's pure, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit. But there's also a wisdom that does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. And the next verse says, for where you have envy and selfish ambition or have agendas, there you find disorder in every evil practice. Church, we need to guard ourselves against that. We need to guard ourselves against agendas, having selfish ambitions. The church that I was in that we were struggling, we had that. I had that. Again, I contributed to the problem. I didn't contribute to the solution. And for me, as I understand this scripture, where you find those things, you find disorder in every evil practice, almost like you kick the door open, devil, come on in and have your way. Gosh, church, we have to be unified. We've got to fight for what we have. And we have to, I believe, pursue the Lord to go deeper. And the last point, why does Jesus want this to happen? Why is this his desire that you and I share the same unity that the Father and the Son share? And the reason is, point three, is so that the world will know. Amen. That the world will know. That's the purpose of unity. Let's reread John 17:23. I in them, Jesus in us, and you in me, the Father in Christ, so that they may be brought to complete unity. That's you and I. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So it seems like just that flows out of unity. The world will know that the Father sent the Son, and the Father loves people just as much as he loves the Son. You know, I don't think programs are going to get us there. Even though there's nothing wrong with programs, I don't think they're going to get us there as far as the world knowing that they're loved, fully loved. Evangelism blitzes are not going to get it done. Even though those are good things, they're not going to get it done. When the world knows is when the church is in complete unity. What an incredible evangelism tool. Church, we have a world out there that's broken. They need to know that they're loved. They need to know that there is hope. I told the early service, I have this weird heart for the Gen Z generation. Those falling in that category, 26 years and younger, which is really kind of bizarre because they irritate me. I mean, they have this language I don't even understand. I don't know how many times I've got on Google. I heard a statement. What does that phrase mean? And I Google it just to try to find out. But I really have a heart for that generation. And I don't understand it. The Lord just placed it there. You know, they're just, and if you fall in that category, I love you, but yeah, you know, it's just a different group of people. They have different color hair and all kind of hair, different colors and piercings and tattoos. I'm not against that. My son's got you know, a full sleeve on both arms of tattoos. I love my son. But 55% of them struggle with mental health issues. 20 to 25% of them identify as something other than a male or a female. Incredibly confused generation. They're also a very spiritual generation, from things I've read, that they're looking for the real deal. They're really trying to look through all the fluff. They're looking for the real thing, a real experience with the Lord in regard to spirituality. And I don't know what it's going to take to reach that generation other than what Jesus prayed for unity for us. And then when we're brought to complete unity, then the world will know maybe that they are loved by the Father. And you know, we can only be responsible for what we do here. We've got this little corner in the kingdom where we can pursue that kind of unity and we can do our part. And like I said at the outset, church, if this is as good as it gets, let's protect it. If it's not, let's pursue to go deeper in regard to our love for each other and our unity in the Lord. Can we do that? Yes. If you're on board, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's have the praise team come up, please. Sorry I told everybody about your shirts, man. I apologize. Well, church, I don't know how you need to respond, even if you need to respond this morning. I don't have anybody in mind. I don't have any situations in mind. But you know, if you're in this body in this body of believers and you have some unresolved conflict maybe with somebody else inside this church, I encourage you to reconcile things with that person. I think all of us could probably be a little more loving, a little more attentive. Man, what would God do? What would God do if we were all on board? But Lord, I thank you for this time. And Lord, I thank you for unity. I'm thankful that you didn't, Jesus, you didn't pray for good health for us. Because we could have healthy bodies, but not unified as a body. I'm grateful you didn't give us $1 gazillion in the bank. Because maybe you knew they would turn our hearts away from you. So Lord, as we process your word this morning, help us to sort that out in a way that honors you. And Father, like I said, if this is as good as it gets, God, protect it in Jesus' name. We pray against the enemy, what he would try to do to disrupt and divide what you're doing here. But Father, if we need to go deeper, give us courage to pursue you more. Give us courage to step out. Give us a greater love for our brothers and sisters in these walls and outside these walls. And Lord, we would be an unstoppable force if that come to fruition. So we thank you for your love, grace, mercy, and power. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and worship. Into the dark. if we were unified. Am I on or off? Well, unified church, man, nothing can stop us. No power of hell could stand against what we're doing. Church, let's do our little part in this corner of the kingdom. Can we do that? Amen. Have a blessed day.
This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. And wash me as white as snow, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.